terrified. The eighth grader was detained by deputies with the Poway Sheriff's Station. Officials say they will have increased patrols in the area today, even though students will not be at the school. Investigators say the boy does not have access to any firearms, and the school district is cooperating.
Ohio police were shocked to find themselves in a 100-mile-per-hour chase with a driver on Interstate 81. The reason they were so surprised? The boy was 10 years old. The boy reportedly had been waiting for his sister to get ready for school when he stole the car and led police on an hour-long chase. Police finally cornered the boy when he drove off the highway into a ditch to avoid spike strips. And if that wasn't crazy enough, it was the second time in 2 weeks the boy was caught taking his mother's car. Last time he said he was just bored. USA Radio News.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
So how would you like to own your very own ranch? The only problem is you don't have to shoot coyotes that may come after your animals. You have to shoot space aliens. Here's Jason Campidonia.
John Edmonds is the owner of the 10-acre horse property that has a four-bedroom home, a guest house, and a pool out in Buckeye. Edmonds says his ranch also has two alien portals. He calls the extraterrestrials grays and says they're anything but peaceful. Edmonds has lived on the property for 20 years and claims to have killed 19 aliens. He says he's tired of being pestered by the intergalactic visitors and is selling his ranch for $5 million.
We've reached the anniversary of Superstorm Sandy. Correspondent Chris Barnes takes a look.
Many people in New York and New Jersey remain displaced 5 years later, many still dealing with financial hardships, unable to get enough grant money to cover the cost of raising their homes to comply with new storm codes. New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie says 1,000 New Jerseyans are still not back in their homes, although he says 85% of the state's businesses have been able to rebuild since Sandy. I'm Chris Barnes.
The head of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, once again the richest person in the world. Amazon's share price shot up this morning after its earnings report, and Bezos' wealth rocketed to over $90 billion. Bezos once again bested Bill Gates, who's be worth an estimated $88 billion. For more news and analysis of today's headlines, join us at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
And guaranteed at OvationHair.com. New customers select USA Radio at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. Hurry, these end-of-summer savings won't last long.
A House vote on nearly $8 billion in Hurricane Harvey aid is expected today, the first helping of federal aid that's anticipated to total $110 billion or more. President Trump telling Congress he wants very rapid action on that aid for Houston and Southeast Texas. A statue of Confederate General Stonewall Jackson will be coming down in Charlottesville, Virginia, where the Democratic mayor, Michael Signer, says it's become damaging to his community.
They clearly became magnets for people who were evil and people who wanted to turn us against ourselves and destroy a certain part of America.
The city council voting 5-0 to remove that statue from a local park in Charlottesville. A different statue, one of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee, was the focus of violence in Charlottesville last month when a white supremacist rally and some counter-protesters clashed, leaving a counter-protester dead. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
More now on the president's decision on DACA. One Republican congressman speaking in favor of ending it points out something he says most liberals won't admit about the program. More on that angle from USA Radio's Jason Wirt.
New York Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin spoke with USA Radio News about President Trump's decision to cancel DACA. Zeldin said one of his issues is that illegal immigrants should not be given preferential treatment over those who are following America's immigration law.
What I struggle with the most is how you can possibly allow someone illegally in our country to be given preference over someone who is not in our country solely because that individual abroad is following the rules and respecting our laws, and as a result, they're not here.
Zeldin said he's open to debate in Congress about changing America's immigration laws if the American people want that. I'm Jason Wirt.
And a stabbing at a school in Washington, D.C., turning into a bit of an international incident. A 13-year-old boy stabbed yesterday afternoon at the British International School in Georgetown. A 12-year-old girl, the daughter of a staffer at the German embassy, was detained but not charged, as she has diplomatic immunity. The boy is expected to recover. Remember, you can follow us online as well as on the radio. Find us at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on 100 in Chamber Radio for Chamber in Action with Chamber President Chris Phelan and Good Morning host Big C, where we'll keep you informed on all the issues, all the initiatives of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and our business community here in Hunterdon County.
It is 9:06, time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. 62 degrees right now in Fleming. It's overcast skies. Rain is going to be continuing until about, well, through the afternoon. We have a little break, and more rain will be coming around 1 o'clock. Showers and a chance of thunderstorms this morning, then periods of showers in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall this morning, not as warm, with highs in the upper 60s. North winds around 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain is 100%. Showers mainly in the evening. Cooler with lows in the 50s. Northeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Chance of rain near 100%. Partly sunny and a chance of showers in the morning tomorrow. Highs in the upper 70s. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mostly sunny on Thursday, lower on Friday, and lower 70s. Mostly sunny and highs in the upper 60s on Saturday. Sunny and highs in the upper 60s on Sunday. Monday also a nice day, mostly sunny, highs in the lower 70s. Temperatures in the area, 62 in Raritan, 61 at the county complex, 63 down in Doylestown.
And guaranteed at OvationHair.com. New customers select USA Radio at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. Hurry, these end of summer savings won't last long.
A House vote on...
Okay. Okay, sorry I'm a little late. I'm Pat Smits. The program It's the Law. And unfortunately, once again, the traffic on 31 coming south gets blocked up because everybody tries to scoot around in front of the hospital. Anyway, that's my boiling point, why they don't make that one-way right turn into the hospital would certainly lessen the problems. But in any event, what about the forecast? I think you may have heard it. In any event, today has been a beautiful day, sunny, high of about 64. Tonight, again, clear. We're starting to hover around the freezing point, so if, like me, you have not brought all your plants in, I suggest you do it this weekend, because tomorrow should be mostly sunny. Again, a high of near 67 degrees, so it should be a pretty beautiful day tomorrow. We can expect some rain tomorrow night, low only about 58 degrees, but the chance of precipitation is about 80%. And then, of course, on Sunday, again, rain and possibly a thunderstorm. So this is tomorrow is the day to get outside, get all that fall work done, and take a look at the leaves, because they really are starting to turn. We look over Stanton Mountain, and the leaves in the valley, really, they're off the trees, but the side of the mountain is getting to be beautiful, coming down 31. And one nice thing about it is it's a beautiful, there's some beautiful trees and some beautiful leaf showing along that area. So what's happening in other issues with respect to the law? Sorry, I haven't been here for a couple weeks. I do appreciate the fact that a couple of the guys filled in for me. But I was, in fact, in Vermont looking at leaves and doing some other work, and then out in Wisconsin going to football games. So in any event, my name is Pat Smits. I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County, and the program is It's the Law. And I just wanted to bring you up to date on some of the things legally that are happening in the state. One interesting thing, and one of the things that I think sometimes people forget about, is the violation of certain HIPAA, H-I-P-A-A, and there's some privacy, important privacy with respect to patients, and you're entitled to privacy, and any medical provider cannot just simply give out your name and other information. So what's happening is apparently the medical insurance company Aetna faces a growing legal predicament over claims that it violated the privacy of patients taking medications for HIV. That, of course, would be something that a patient taking medicine for HIV would consider very private. And then the company was hit with a lawsuit in Superior Court in Essex County about a week ago in connection with a mass mailing that allegedly violated the privacy of recipients. So the that case it'll be an interesting case to see whether or not the insurance agency was justified in sending out that mass mailing. So what else is happening? There was a former executive at Medco Health Solutions who sued the healthcare company on behalf of the United States, California, Florida, and New Jersey for allegedly violating anti-kickback laws, lacked immediate knowledge of any wrongdoing. And a Delaware federal judge ruled on this this past Tuesday. Now, a university police department detective who ordered the arrest of two students who would later be expelled for sexual assault allegations must first prove the reasonableness of the arrests before she can be determined immune from their civil rights lawsuit. And this was a federal appeals court ruled that. So what else is happening in New Jersey? Well, there's a landlord-tenant case that was approved for publication, and that's fairly rare, so might be interesting to see. This was an appellate decision, And the name of the case is Seth Pollock et al. Versus Quick Quality Restaurants, Inc. And in this appeal, the appellate division considered whether a tenant exercising under its lease a contracted right of first refusal to adopt terms of a purchase contract for the premises is obligated to pay a commission to a broker who secured the prospective buyer for the landlord's seller. Apparently, in this case, the broker secured a prospective purchaser who orally represented that it would enter into a written commission agreement separate and apart from the purchase contract to pay the broker 1.5% of the purchase price. When the tenant exercised its option to purchase the premises, no commission agreement was included in the sales contract. Because there was no contractual relationship, so this is important, because there was no contractual relationship, either express or implied, between the broker and the tenant, nor any other basis to impose an obligation to pay the commission, the appellate division affirmed the trial court's grant of summary judgment for the tenant. In other words, the suit at first came up in the trial, and the trial judge ruled that there was no way that the plaintiff could, in that case, that the broker could win, and therefore granted summary judgment for the tenant. And in this case, the panel also affirmed the dismissal of the tenant's counterclaim against the broker. So what happened is neither one won on their action. And, of course, the tenant probably filed a counterclaim on the broker just because he had filed a complaint against him. So there have been a number of other today there were a number of other cases that came down, but they were all unpublished. So that another federal judge has ruled that an office supply company is liable under the Telephone Consumer Protection Act for sending thousands of junk faxes, but the judge stopped short of granting the plaintiff's request for a $17 million award in statutory damages. One of my favorite judges, Judge Lighthouse, she's retired now from the appellate division, and she's joined a firm in South Jersey. She was really an excellent jurist, both on the trial bench and in the appellate division. And this is a problem. We're losing a lot of experienced judges are retiring, either because they're mandatory retirement age, which is 70, and frankly, I think too young, or they're just deciding that they have served enough time for their pension and they can go out and go into private practice, go into a firm. Many of them are going into firms where they handle discovery. They may also handle arbitration and mediation. Former judges cannot appear in court, but they can do basically everything else. I should say they cannot appear in courts in New Jersey, because one of my all-time favorite jurists from many years ago decided to move to Vermont, and he was, in fact, able to collect his pension and appear in the court there. But I think everybody recognizes the concern if former judges were appearing before other judges, before their fellow colleagues after they retired from the bench. So the Cherry Hill law firm has been sued for race discrimination and fraud by a former associate who said he never received his agreed-upon share of fees collected by the firm in personal injury cases. So what happens often is that associates in some firms are given an incentive and told that they will, in fact, receive a certain percentage of legal fees for certain cases that they bring in. So that was something that we'll see how that goes. as I said, Judge Lighthouse, that was a, I'm really, it's a shame that she's off the appellate division because she wrote some excellent opinions. Although we now have one of our own, Judge Mala, who is was a trial judge here in Hunterdon, and he was also the presiding judge for the family division in Somerset for this vicinage, and he also handled other things, and he is now on the appellate division, and he is one of the brightest people I know as far as, and he remembers the cases, and he's just excellent, and I think we all knew from shortly after the time he was appointed that he would ultimately go up to the appellate division. And I look forward to reading his opinions, especially if their opinion is favorable to me. And I have a couple cases now on appeal, so it would be interesting to see if he actually would handle these cases. One of them he would not be able to handle because he was one of the judges at the trial level. So there's a trust and estates case that might be of some interest, and that is the estate of Ruth Oberg versus the director of the Division of Taxation. This is a tax court case. And in this case, the court rules in favor of the estate on taxations, meaning the Division of Taxation's motion for summary judgment, seeking dismissal of the complaint for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. And that was done because the evidence supports the presumption that the estate's protest was received by taxation, meaning by the department. Subsequently, or substantially, I should say, the court affirms the assessment finding that the taxation is statutorily done and authorized under a statute to assess estate tax in excess of the federal death tax allowance as reported by the estate on its federal income tax form. And this was because the Form 706 was accepted by the IRS as filed. And further, the Department of Taxation, or I should say it's really the, I think it's the Division of Tax, yes, it's the Division of Taxation. And that they, because that division is bound by the IRS closing letter, where the underlying IRS determination that actually more than one, the determinations contradict federal precedent. Specifically, the Department of Taxation properly disallowed alternate valuation date elected by the estate on Form 706 and the properly included proceeds of loan in the gross estate where the record lacks evidence that the loan transaction between the decedent and the daughter constituted valid federal estate tax avoidance self-canceling instrument note. So all of this is very, I don't want to say mundane because it's not. It can be very complicated, and that's why anyone involved in an estate really needs an attorney who specializes in that area of law. Of course, I think anyone needs an attorney irrespective of the situation, they should consult with an attorney who handles that type of law. And I received a call yesterday, and I did speak with this young woman, and she's involved in a DCP&P proceeding. That's the old DIFAS, has to do with abuse and neglect. And I spoke to her for about half an hour, but she is, in fact, represented by a public defender, because she's a parent, and a case is filed by DCP&P, and she was entitled to a public defender based on the circumstances of the case, her income, etc. And my advice to her, after speaking to her for about half an hour and hearing the background and the information, was that she should continue with the public defender, and that, frankly, in those cases, the public defender is much better equipped than any private attorney that I know to handle these cases. Now, there are some private attorneys and firms that do handle DCP&P cases, but in general, People are represented by public defenders, and in my experience, the public defenders know the law, know the judges, know the proceedings, and really can do a better job for the client. And of course, as I said, as a matrimonial lawyer, I have done these cases, but again, I still think that certainly the cost can be just excessive. So whenever possible, someone really needs to be represented in those cases by a public defender. Apparently, there's a question about, again, there are lots of questions about Menendez's defense in the case against him, and apparently a key underpinning of the defense presented by lawyers for U.S. Senator Robert Menendez, and these are charges of corruption charges, and they may be undermined thanks to a trial judge's ruling that the federal prosecutors could proceed under the stream of benefits bribery theory. And then a number of legal observers are saying that this is really beneficial to the prosecutors. Now, there's another really unfortunate case, and that's a lawsuit that I guess most of us would say was reminiscent of the civil rights era. And in this case, the state's attorney general's office filed a lawsuit against the Bergen County Township of Mahwah, alleging that it enacted ordinances aimed at staving off a perceived influx of Orthodox Jews. Now, that's obviously something that anyone around during the civil rights era knows of the efforts to exclude blacks, African Americans, from certain portions of cities or other areas. And now this is something that apparently the Attorney General's office thought important enough to file suit against Bergen County, the township actually of Mahwah in Bergen County, and with respect to certain ordinances that they claim are aimed to stave off more Orthodox Jews moving into the township. Well, as I said, there weren't a lot of cases approved for publication this week. Let me tell you something about our sponsors, and then I will come back and talk about other cases and other things that are happening in the law.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on 100 Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org. The
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. This is Chamber President Chris Phelan.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Well, we're back, and now this does seem to be a problem again with respect to the sound. It doesn't seem to be very level, so I do apologize. We'll see. Hopefully that will be resolved. I can tell you that I can see that or hear that some of the commercials are being played at much different volume. So I'm Pat Smits. We're back talking about the law and what's happening in New Jersey. So that there's a huge settlement that Sanofi is going to be paying, and that was apparently buyers of a bacterial meningitis vaccine made by Sanofi Pasteur will share in a $61.5 million settlement of an antitrust case action following a ruling last week by a U.S. judge granting final approval to the deal. So that apparently the Sanofi was bundling this vaccine with other drugs, and as a result, that's been approved for settlement. Now, of course, what the individuals get is often woefully minuscule, to say the least. But there's also a case that I thought might be interesting in here in New Jersey. It was a tax court, and it was Congregation Chateau Park Seafard versus the Township of Lakewood. And the court in that case concludes that the parsonage exemption, which is set forth in statute, that's a specific statute, is not contingent on the ownership or exempt status of the building in which the occupant of the parsonage officiates at worship services. And this ruling stated that the relevant statute sets forth in plain terms the criteria for a parsonage exemption, and none of the criteria concerns the ownership or tax-exempt status of any building other than the parsonage itself. And so the tax court said to infer any such requirements where none exists in the statute would constitute a trespass, and that's the way it was held, a trespass on legislative authority by this court. So in other words, the court is basically inviting the legislature to take another look to see if they want to change the statute. So the court in this case said, in reaching the conclusion, the court determines that the holding in Borough of Chester versus World Challenge, Inc., that was a reported case at 14 NJ Tax 20, Tax Court in 1994, that the parsonage exemption is a, quote, derivative exemption, end quote, requiring the, quote, association of the parsonage with an exempt church, end quote, refers to the, quote, church, end quote, in the sense of a religious congregation and not as an exempt building. So that case was approved for publication, and basically it could provide real benefits for other churches and synagogues who are claiming the parsonage exemption. So, and in some small municipalities, that can be fairly significant. But for anyone who's interested, they should really look at the statute itself. So apparently a wage and hour suit on behalf of Mary Kay Sales Consultants won't be heard in New Jersey, will not be heard in New Jersey based on a Third Circuit ruling that Texas law governs the interpretation of a form selection clause in the cosmetic company's employment contract. So the representatives are not able to sue in New Jersey. Obviously, in many cases, litigants, especially class action suits, try to select the forum that is going to be most favorable or that they think will be most favorable. Now, another New Jersey appellate court upheld as enforceable an employment agreement that requires workers who allege discrimination in the workplace to pursue their complaints through arbitration rather than litigation. So this is fairly an important case, because what it means is that anyone, as a worker, if you sign an employment agreement that requires you to allege discrimination, if you believe you've been discriminated against in the workplace, that you have to file your complaint through arbitration and not litigation. So that's a pretty significant enforcement of a contract, because, as we know, employees really very seldom can negotiate their employment contract. Most employees have to sign whatever form contract the employer is offering. So now the preschool operator that had been accused by the U.S. Department of Justice for violating the Americans Against Disabilities Act has lost a motion to dismiss or stay the case, so that they're going to have to proceed. And anyone who, in fact, is operating a preschool program needs to be sure that they're complying with the Americans Against Disabilities Act if, in fact, they're covered by it. And again, there's a question you need to, need to check with an attorney who can, in fact, really advise you whether or not your facility is covered under the Act. And if it is, what you have to do to comply. Now, we're hearing a lot about the opiate problem, real huge problem. But we have some news in New Jersey, and that is that the state is moving to revoke the medical license of a Warren County doctor allegedly connected to an opioid maker recently accused in a state lawsuit part of the campaign of pushing doctors to write prescriptions for one of its key painkillers. So this is going to be really precedent-setting, and it will be, should be a significant and very scary for doctors, obviously, very scary for doctors. So that there were a criminal law case that was published, approved for publication, and published this week, and that is State of New Jersey versus Carlos B. Green. This appellate division decision, and in this case, the trial court prohibited the admission of defendants' two prior drunk driving convictions, and the state said the state sought to admit the two drunk driving convictions to prove that the defendant acted recklessly in his pending trial on charge of first-degree vehicular homicide while intoxicated within 1,000 feet of a school. Now, the appellate division took this up on an interlocutory appeal, and they affirmed that due to the statutory inference of recklessness that arises while driving drunk, as well as the differential review standard applied to the New Jersey rules of evidence, they prohibited, and wait, the trial court prohibited, excuse me, the trial court prohibited the omission, and on interlocutory appeal, the appellate division affirmed what the trial judge ruled because there would be a statutory inference of recklessness that arises when driving drunk. So the appellate division held that they didn't need admission of the defendant's two prior drunk driving convictions. Of course, this is one of those tragedies where even after being convicted of driving drunk, this person went out, Mr. Green went out, and again, driving intoxicated within 1,000 feet of a school, killed someone. There is also a family law case, DC P&P, and again, versus initials, and that was in the matter of a guardianship of a child. And then in this appeal, the appellate division held that the Division of Child Protection and Permanency, that's DCPMP, what we used to call DIFAS, that the division established all the criteria for termination of parental rights. So there is a specific statute, and the DCPMP has the burden, of course, the burden of proof. And in this case, the defendant father, they ruled that the defendant father essentially abandoned the child to the care of others, was deported, and failed to maintain contact with the child for several years. The child formed a bond with her foster parent, and the division's expert, most likely a psychologist, testified that the child would suffer severe and enduring harm if removed from the foster home, and that would be harm which the defendant could not ameliorate. And also that the Vienna Convention of Consular Relations did not require consular notice in this matter or prior child protection proceedings because the child was a citizen of the United States. And the defendant father failed to establish that he was denied the effective assistance of counsel in the guardianship action. Obviously, this is a child who was living with foster parents after the father was deported, and the question was, would he be returned to the father? And in this case, for all the reasons, the trial court provided, and then on the appellate division, Judge Koblitz confirmed and affirmed that the child would not be returned. And this was, again, a published opinion, which means that it's precedent-setting in any cases that are similar. There was a Third Circuit case, a libel claim, over media reports falsely linking a New Jersey woman to a drug and prostitution ring. And according to this, they were shielded by the fair report privilege. And this was a rule by a federal court. And it was a libel suit. So, however, those were reports in the media. And I still caution, and seriously caution, people from putting slanderous things out in social media, because you can be, in fact, sued for libel. And not only that, you can ruin somebody's reputation, what it happens in the family context when people are trying to be nasty and vindictive. And in fact, I have a situation now where outrageous and untrue claims were made against my client's fiance. And this is, most of the judges, I think, I think the judges recognize these things. But in the case I'm speaking about, my client's fiance's former husband put all kinds of untrue, false things out on the internet, and they're being now part of a case that my client is involved in. But nobody bothered to check out the veracity of the claims, etc. Again, it also tells all of us that we should be very careful about believing everything we read on the internet. I know some people think if it's out there, it's true. Now, there is a difference between false news and accurate news, obviously. But in this case, be very careful about what you put out on the internet, on Facebook or Twitter or other things that, in fact, you just don't put out libelous information. I guess always think twice before you put anything out. So apparently New Jersey, which is good, is going to get $4.1 million of a $120 million multi-state settlement with General Motors to resolve allegations that the company failed to disclose an ignition switch defect that could have caused vehicles to suddenly shut off during normal operations. So this big settlement, obviously, and some of these companies figure, you know, the cost of litigation versus the cost of doing things right. But in any event, so we have another person who was in actually the assistant commissioner of the New Jersey Department of Human Services under Governor Chris Christie is the latest lawyer to leave government for a post at Porzio, Bromberg, and Newman. This is an attorney firm in Morristown, and she's going to them as counsel. Now, of course, you know, there are advantages to law firms, and some of this I don't know her and I have no idea how her work in government could actually be beneficial to her or the firm. But sometimes it's absolutely blatant as to where people move after they've been in government, not just to law firms. Apparently, the Missouri Appeals Court has vacated a $72 million talcum powder verdict, citing a U.S. Supreme Court decision that could threaten to erase additional verdicts against Johnson & Johnson in New Jersey. So that's a huge win for Johnson & Johnson. Huge. So what else is happening? I mean, a lot has been happening, obviously. The New Jersey Supreme Court, however, has declined to decide whether remarks made to a reporter by a woman who claims she was the subject of a bogus parking ticket, along with added comments by her lawyer, violated the confidentiality clause in her settlement with a municipality. There's a lot of controversy about these confidentiality agreements. Obviously, that promotes settlement when something will not be disclosed. And sometimes cases are settled not because of really a concern about losing at trial or even the validity of the claim, but rather because of other reasons, including the cost of litigation. This is one of the real problems that lawyers have because the insurance companies don't want to litigate claims of malpractice, even when they're really frivolous. Now, a federal appeals court has ruled that New York lawyer committed fraud on the court when he obtained a $30 million judgment on a securities case in a New Jersey bankruptcy court without notifying the judge of a prior multi-million dollar settlement he obtained from co-defendants in the case in the Southern District of New York. So that's pretty significant. His failure to notify the bankruptcy court was ruled fraud. And it is true. Lawyers, you know, cannot allow clients to lie if they know they're lying. Certainly in this case, this lawyer would have an absolute obligation to notify the court that he had obtained another multi-million dollar settlement from co-defendants in a case in New York. So now the New Jersey Supreme Court has declined to take up the issue of whether a consumer may file a lemon lawsuit for the sole purpose of pursuing an award of attorney fees, even after obtaining a remedy through the vehicle manufacturer's arbitration program. So that they're not going to decide whether or not the person can do that. So that's it. Let me just play a couple commercials and then come back with some final remarks before we get to sports guys.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families.
Well, we'll play the news in just a couple minutes, but now let's fill up the few minutes with a couple other things about the law that's happened. As I said, now the there was a suit, and health club members should be interested in this one. Health club members were denied relief for early contract termination. So this was a suit over fees imposed on a class of health club patrons who quit their membership, and that's been tossed out by the appellate division here in New Jersey. So that I don't know anything of the specifics of the case other than it was not handled. It was tossed out by the court. So the as a matter, there was another issue, and as a matter of public policies, courts strongly encourage settlement of contested civil litigation. Therefore, in light of this policy, one of the most ironically frustrating civil proceedings for judges, attorneys, and litigants alike is what's known as a Harrington hearing. I will talk more about that at another time. It is a hearing with respect to whether or not an agreement that allegedly settled the litigation will be overturned. And this is just something that I'm going to there is another case which was family law and civil procedure, and in this case it was State versus Thomas, appellate division case, and the woman appealed her conviction for third degree interference with custody, and she had taken her daughter to a makeup water safety class rather than to the father for his court-ordered evening parenting time. She had texted the father and asked him to reschedule his parenting time, but he refused. And she argued that the class was important for the child's safety because there was a backyard pool where she and the child lived. She further argued that the trial court erred in denying her motions to dismiss the pre-indictment complaint and the indictment on the grounds that her infraction was de minimis. And this is really important. So the trial court rejected her argument that interference with custody, meaning the statute, was intended to address only an ongoing course of conduct. Applied the the prong of the de minimis statute's three prongs, and focused on the complete deprivation of parenting time on that day. Now, the court, the appellate court, found that the trial court's refusal to dismiss on trivial, because it was trivial, was not an abuse of discretion, but the trial court also had to address the extenuating circumstances subsection of the statute, and to provide a rational explanation for rejecting that alternative, a ground for de minimis dismissal. In other words, this the question is, yes, there was intentional interference, but was it de minimis? And that is a ground. And frankly, it's very surprising that the trial court actually did not dismiss, and it had to be taken to the appellate division. Well, that's it for today. Let me play the news, and we'll be back with the sports guys.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdenhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
If you have an institution in any one of our states that has more than 17 beds in it and you're giving drug treatment, Medicaid won't pay. Based upon an old 1960s rule that said that's a psychiatric hospital, Medicaid won't pay.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a member of President Trump's committee to fight opioid abuse, outlining one of the problems in getting better drug treatment for opioid addicts across the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the U.S. has an unprecedented drug crisis. Sessions gave remarks on the opioid epidemic today, saying the problem started with overprescribing of painkillers. U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis seeking diplomacy when dealing with North Korea.